Well, just before the on-air sign was flashed, somebody said, say the first thing that comes into your mind. Well, here it is. Take two and hit to right. It's an old baseball phrase, and please don't ask me why it came up at this moment. I haven't any idea. I'm just thankful it wasn't anything worse. Let's have some monitor music now by George Martin. Take two and hit to right. Crandall with Monitor 66, which brings you the weekend world in words and music. Thank you. That was One of Those Songs by Jackie Gleason and his orchestra. That's the title, really it is, One of Those Songs. Next, one of the world's foremost anthropologists, Dr. Margaret Mead, who studied human beings and their behavior for decades, written many definitive books on the subject, and recently, with the assistance of photographer Ken Heyman, arranged a photo exhibit titled Family. At the Hallmark Gallery in New York, Monitor reporter Charlie Holmes availed himself of the good doctor's presence to discuss some basic family concepts with her. Dr. Margaret Mead, the photos and text of your book examine the differences in family relationships in various cultures and traditions. What are some of these differences that you discovered?
Well, some societies almost turn things over to the baby before it can walk. Others may keep a child very dependent for a very long time. In some societies, children learn from brothers and sisters, and some they learn from nurses, and some they learn from grandparents. Some they're taught by very young parents who don't know what the next step is either, so they learn to be quite progressive very often because they don't have a closed future. There are a tremendous number of variety of ways in which human beings can be turned into human beings by the family.
What similarities did you and photographer Ken Heyman discover that link mankind through the ages?
Well, the fact that in every family, you're, in a sense, stuck with what you've got. The mother has to accept a baby before it's born. She doesn't even know what sex it's going to be or what it's going to look like, but she accepts it. The father has to take the children that are there. Brothers and sisters have to take the fate that is the result of being oldest and youngest and having a handsomer brother or a stronger brother or a prettier sister. It's within this kind of a context where one, in a sense, has no choice, and certainly the growing child has no choice, that we learn to accept the diversity which makes us human beings.
Well, there are critics today who claim that the father in American society is not the strong person he used to be, now that he helps do the dishes and a myriad of other tasks that usually were relegated to the housewife. He's not a strong person any longer. How do you feel about this?
I don't think strength and dishes have much to do with each other on the whole. And what has happened today, I think, is that the father is too housebound. It's not that he's doing the things that the mother used to do. He does the most in the houses that the mother didn't do them. And so when there aren't any servants, he has to help. On the other hand, the kind of household where women did do the dishes, she's still doing them, and father isn't helping very much. We've got the kind of household today which makes the father and the mother too housebound.
Do you believe in this kind of togetherness that we seem to be promoting, and is there evidence of this kind of thing in other parts of the world?
I think that in any period of tension and change, there's a tendency for people to rely on family relationships, especially on the relationship between husband and wife, more than there is in more peaceful periods. And that part of the kind of togetherness we've seen is rather like caterpillars putting on warm coats for a hard winter, that young people know that they're facing a period of tremendous tension and change, and they want at least one person to face it with them.
Recently, we've discovered some traces of polygamy left in this country. Are there other cultures practicing polygamy today?
Oh, there's still quite a lot of cultures practicing polygamy.
Does it have any validity in today's world?
Well, it was a very useful way of looking after widows and spare women, of being sure that every woman was cared for and every child that was born was cared for. It has very little chance once monogamy has got going. On the whole, no, a woman would rather have a whole man part of the time than part of a man all the time.
It is your firm belief, I believe, that the family unit offers mankind its best hope for survival. Could you talk about that?
Well, I'd rather say that we don't know any society without a family unit, and we don't know how to turn human beings into people except with a family unit. Every time we've tried institutional upbringing of children, we've brought up people whose children end up in institutions.
Thank you, Dr. Margaret Mead, for a very enlightening chat and a look at the photographic exhibition here at the Hallmark Gallery in New York. The photographs are part of your photo essay with photographer Ken Heyman, titled Family. This is Charlie Holmes for Monitor. Now Monitor switches from the serious side of human relationships to a lighthearted approach. And it only takes as long as the time to say, here's Trini Lopez with his latest, Made in Paris.
down, moon up, but it is something to see how the fellas follow the girls. They're all in search of love. There isn't a lover who doesn't discover that if it's made in colors, you can bet that there is a girl for every boy. Dreams are made in Paris every night. They come true. Can't you hear Paris calling you? The girls are everywhere. The scent of their perfume is meant to go right to your head. So don't just sit and stir with the fun and the laughter. The good times you're after can just be made in Paris. If you don't know how to speak French, you'll understand. Love is made in Paris every night. Rain or shine, go get yours, I've got mine. Find your dream.
Music by top performers like Peggy Lee and Roger Miller, and comedy by the best satirist, Nichols and May, coming up shortly here on the Monitor Beacon.
Do you know that Janet Leigh takes her two daughters with her everywhere when she is making a movie, even if it means that she becomes their teacher and they do homework together on the set? Well, we talked with Janet Leigh, one of the nicest stars of the film world, when she appeared on our show, Luncheon with Mimi, which is heard every day just after the noon news around 12:10 on 660. I'm Mimi Benzel, and I'm inviting you to be our guest for luncheon every day and share exciting, intimate conversation with celebrities from the theater, the arts, the world of education, sports, politics. We talk with everyone. Join us every day for the noontime stimulus of Luncheon with Mimi right here on 660.
WNBC Radio is setting New York afire with the biggest contest ever. Stay tuned to 660 to see how you can win a Rolls-Royce Silver Cloud 3 sedan.
Live it up with Lee Leonard, weekday afternoons on The Conversation Station, WNBC AM and FM New York.
Brad Crandall again. And you think the cost of living has gone up in this country, do you? Well, you better listen to this. The South African Witch Doctors Association has posted its 1966 list of fees. And it shows that chasing away of evil spirits will now cost $3 instead of the usual $1.75, while, quote, exciting the passion of a woman in another village, end quote, zooms from $8.50 to $10.50. You know, if this were taking place in the United States, the association would probably receive a sharp note from the president. Those increases are way above the 3 2/10% guideposts.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, good looking, so refined. Say, wouldn't you like to know what's going on in my mind? So let me get right to the point. My cork for every guy I see. Hey, big spender, spend a little time with me. Wouldn't you like to have fun, fun, fun. How's about a view? Laughs, laughs, I can show you a good time. Let me show you a good time. The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, good looking, so refined. Say, would you like to know what's going on in my mind? So let me get right to the point. I don't pop my cork for every guy I see.
Talent, Miss Peggy Lee. Big doings, as always, on Monitor Sunday afternoon, as well as other times during the weekend. Tomorrow's activities include lots of laughing as you listen to Shelley Berman, Jackie Vernon, in addition to Monitor's own regulars, Nicholson May and Jonathan Winters. Al Capp will have his say in his usual outspoken way. Skitch Henderson will talk with Liza Minnelli on his new Monitor feature. And with Joe Garagiola and Mel Allen leading the way, Monitor Sports will keep you right up with the latest in that area. And on the guest list, I see the name of Charlton Heston. Oh, did I mention that your host tomorrow afternoon will be Barry Nelson, as usual? Well, he will. And you'll have the latest in news and music, too, so I don't have to tell you what to do, right? Okay, on now with Saturday Monitor and Roger Miller's new hit.
Two broken hearts, lonely looking like houses where nobody lives. Two people each having so much pride inside, neither side forgives. The angry words spoken in haste, such a waste of two lives. It's my belief pride is the chief cause in the decline in the number of husbands and wives. A woman and a man and a woman, some can, and some can't, and some lonely looking like houses where nobody lives. Two people each having so much pride inside, neither side forgives. The angry words spoken in such a waste of two lives. It's my belief pride is the chief cause in the decline in the number of husbands and wives.
Husbands. Next, Monitor Comedy Time. With Mike Nichols and Elaine May. You've undoubtedly heard of poetic license and dramatic license, which allows readers and writers to take liberties with rhymes and reasons in order to achieve maximum results. Well, Mike and Elaine have taken out a little comedy license to alter a few historical facts, circa 1789.
Martha, would you come in here, please?
Yes.
Martha, I have asked you 1,000 times not to leave your teeth grinning at me in a glass on the sink.
Here, just a minute. Just pick him up. It's
startling, to say the least.
Oh,
come in, you turn the light on there, those things just flashing at you.
Oh, they're just a set of teeth. Now, what's the matter
with
you?
I thought I was in psycho.
Come on. Oh, don't carry on, sir. Just hand me the teeth now.
I wouldn't touch him. Oh. I wouldn't touch him.
Here, I'll take him. Just some teeth in a glass. Oh, don't make such a fuss.
I would never leave my teeth anywhere where you could see them in that way.
No. They're in my mouth. You're still frightened of them?
Yes, I am. If you don't have enough respect for me to keep your teeth in a covered glass away from where I...
Well, I have some tinfoil on the top of it.
Yes and no.
No way, you've never seen a pair of teeth before? You have your teeth hanging around in the bathroom all day long, and I don't make up such a terrible fuss. I just put them in the medicine cabinet.
I do not leave them in a glass where they can grin at you when you turn the
light
on.
Well, they most certainly do. That's what you think. You walk into that bathroom sometime at night and see your teeth standing there on the basin, and I don't scream and carry on.
Those terrible wooden things staring at me like that.
Oh, well, they're not so terrible.
In the White House, I can go without seeing those teeth.
Well, now, I just leave them in the kitchen. Don't carry on, so now just don't carry on.
Well, Martha, I've had enough of it. Had enough. I don't leave my teeth around. I don't leave my wigs around where you can see them. I'm always finding pieces of you around.
There's something wrong with these teeth, and I think they're yours. Here.
Of course.
Let me see your teeth.
Wait a second.
Oh, that's fine. That's better. These are mine.
Oh. That's a remarkable improvement.
Whose teeth were grinning at who, you bad boy, you?
All right, well, I'm sorry.
Whose teeth was grinning at who?
All right, now get off my back, Martha.
Oh, you are really a naughty boy.
Well,
better put on a warm coat. The Delaware is going to be awful cold tonight.
You may have spotted a few historical inaccuracies in this little Nichols and May vignette, but there's no question about our first presidents having had a set of wooden false teeth. That's a matter of record. Oh, and this is a matter of record, too. Night for the Hollywood Strings. An easy night's work for me, and this is where it ends. Now, don't forget, monitors heard on NBC stations right across the nation. In Western Michigan, on WOOD in Grand Rapids. And don't forget, too, that those NBC stations have more of their own fine programming for you after we say goodnight. And now, Brad Crandall here saying just that. Good night.
This is Monitor, over 10 years of service to the NBC Radio Network.
Now,
count yourself among the thousands taking advantage of Castro's big Lincoln's Birthday Spectacular all this week.
Who was the first to conquer space? It's incontrovertible that the first to conquer living space is the Castro convertible. Who conquers space with fine design? Who saves you money all the time? Who tops in the convertible line? Castro convertibles.
WNBC, AM and FM, New York.